Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Now, tell me if that's a
hand in
that is John Barry at Once Upon a Time with the Fantastics. And we are once again joining you on a Thursday evening here at LA Radio. And I'm getting a huge echo.
Yeah, I am. I'm too.
So. We fixed it. Okay, cool. Well, welcome to another Thursday evening here on LA Talk Radio. This is The Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina, in my little home studio hidden away in the little wilds of Star, Idaho, on the phone with the wonderful, delightful, charming, intelligent, and well-read Bobby Jean Bell.
Oh, the pressure mounts.
I know. You know, I'm going through the book now, getting adjectives for you.
I almost thought you were just going to say our guest's name instead of mine, you know, because those words would describe her would describe her to a T.
we're going to get into her in just a moment. This is our second to the last show before the year ends.
I can't believe it, Jim.
No, I know. Another one shot by. Boom.
So fast. What a year. I know we had a little hiatus, but it's still, you know, in another couple of days, it'll be a 2-year anniversary for our move to Albuquerque.
That's true, huh?
And it's like 2 years. Where the heck did that go?
Well, it's gone from you and Jim traveling everywhere but Albuquerque.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you guys are never home.
Well, we have our moments.
Well, you do. And you know, I mean, to be honest, moving to Star gave me a chance to really build a nice little home studio here. And
it's
really nice. And it's right here. Everything's at my fingertips. But, you know what? Let's just forget all that. And let's just bring our guest for this evening.
Yes.
And we have this evening a return visit from one of our very favorite authors, Miss Tosca Lee. And she is the award-winning New York Times bestselling author of The House of Bathory Duology, The Progeny and Firstborn, Iscariot, The Legend of Sharia, Demon of Memoir, Hava, The Story of Eve, and The Books of Mortals series with New York Times bestseller Ted Decker. And he's written Forbidden, Mortal, and Sovereign. Notorious Night Owl, she loves watching TV, eating bacon, playing video games, and football with her kids, and sending cheesy texts to her husband. Well, you can find Tosca at www.toscalee.com, and if you're really lucky, you can catch her in her barn office with one of the many, like they have these little hovercraft that go around, and they peek in her office windows, and it's right as she's going. So please welcome once again to the Writer's Block, Miss Tosca Lee.
Thank you for having me. Yay!
Well, last time we talked, Tosca, you were sitting up in your office and you had a drone peering in at you while you were talking to us on the phone.
Yeah, that's what it
was. Yeah, we couldn't believe that. I can't tell you how many times I remembered that conversation.
So that's called life with boys who have too many electronics. And so when you're upstairs and you're writing and then all of a sudden you look out the window and there's a drone like floating outside your window peering in like, what are you doing? And you look out there and you're like, oh, hey. So, yep, life with boys.
Well, you know, it's just like it's everything else. everybody's got their thing. Mine happens to be I got a dog peering in at me all the time. So, you know.
I have that too. Yeah. We have two
my golden retriever, Bella.
Yep. If you go on my social media, you can see a video of me laughing because our giant German Shepherd was like, scratch me, scratch me. And so I scratch him, and then he paws at me, and he wants more scratchies, and then he makes Wookiee sounds, and then he makes a weird, like, face, and very funny. So, yes, you should definitely check that out.
Oh, so since we last spoke, well, actually, you and I spoke last Tuesday, but since you were last on the show, what's been going on with you before we get into your books?
Well, I've had two books out this year. The first one was The Line Between in January, and the sequel came out in September, and that is A Single Light. And these are the stories. It's the story of a young woman named Winter Roth, and she, at the beginning of the book, is getting ousted from a doomsday cult that she's grown up in most of her life. And a pandemic is just starting across the U.S. And for her, it looks like the apocalypse that she's always been taught to expect was coming. So it's been a busy year with two book releases.
Oh, well, it sounds like it. I noticed I caught you on Jason Lavelle's show and on Richard Palinelli's show.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yep.
And with all these shows you do, when do you have time to write? I mean, I'm just asking.
I don't, you know, I haven't written a lot this year. I've been mostly just out and about, but I'm getting ready to buckle down for a season, so things will get quieter for me. But yeah, it's been a really busy year. I think I've done some 50 appearances, and that doesn't even count, you know, the podcasts and interviews and stuff like that. So it's been busy, but I've really enjoyed it because it's given me the opportunity to talk to a bunch of great people. So
excellent. And you just had a milestone. You just had a birthday.
Yes, I turned 29.
29 again. See, that, we're all 29 and holding.
Okay, it's 50. Yeah. Okay, fine. It's 50. I turned 50.
Well, Jim, she's just a youngster, isn't she?
If it's any consolation, Tosca, I don't remember turning 50.
No, I don't either.
It was a while.
Well, back. My husband took me on a surprise birthday getaway, and I don't remember it either. So, yeah.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Yep. Well, you've got two books that came out this year. You had The Line Between, and then you have follow-up, A Single Light.
Yep.
They're kind of like, almost the dystopian doom and gloom stories.
They are, except, you know, the thing that I like to do to set them apart is I really like to give a sense of hope at the end of the stories. And, you know, the whole idea of The Line Between and The Single Light is this idea that it just takes, you know, one person, one good deed, one good act of kindness to save the world a moment at a time. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I did not read The Line Between, but I did read A Single Light.
Oh, that's good, because I read The Line Between.
So there you go.
We didn't even coordinate that, Tosca.
No, we didn't.
Wow, you guys are good.
Well, we try, but I enjoyed it. It was a very fast paced story, I do have to say, and it flew by.
Well, thank you. I try to keep people up way too late at night. That's kind of my goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was reading until 4 o'clock in the morning a couple of days.
Yes.
Well, that's not unusual for you.
Well, no, and today I probably finished The Line Between about an hour or so ago and started the next book because I just had to get it started.
Yeah. Any book where I can pick it up and I look at chapter one and the first line is, I miss ice cream.
I know, isn't that great? Her first line.
And I didn't mean for it to start that way. That's just how it began. So, you know, sometimes I carry these first lines around for a long time. And then sometimes you sit down to write and you're just like, you know, I miss ice cream. And that's where it is. So,
well, it's amazing because the only thing I'm going to give away out of this book is the fact that it opens up and they are in a huge underground silo.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for their atmosphere and their world to kind of settle down a little bit before they go trotting out to the nature. That's been quite an ordeal for them.
Yeah.
So. Well, and it was quite an ordeal at book one to get them there.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, those underground silos are real too. I mean,
based
on real research, you can actually, you know, for a cool $1 million or $2 million or something, you can fly into one of those and you can actually, you know, have one or be a part of one.
Well, you're in Nebraska where they have a whole bunch of them.
Well, we have all kinds of stuff here.
Yeah. Well, NORAD, you know, based a lot of the stuff in the Midwest, and after they pulled the missiles out, they got all these beautiful concrete structures down there that are going to waste.
Right. So NORAD, that's in Colorado Springs.
Right.
So, yep. But there's also some underground missile silos, I want to say, in like one of the Dakotas, and I think in Kansas as well, where you can buy in and get shares of stuff like this.
There you go. So, I think actually most people would be utterly surprised as to how many underground silos there actually are in this country.
There's a lot.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there are.
Where did these two stories come from? Because I'm always interested in where your brain was when these stories popped into your head.
Yeah, I'm interested in knowing where my brain was too. So, So I'm one of those people who the novelty of laying in bed and reading news on my phone has never worn off on me because I'm of a certain age where, you know, we never had that before. So I was laying in bed one night reading news on my phone, and I came across a headline about a reindeer carcass that thawed in the melting Siberian permafrost. And it was infected with anthrax, and it made an entire Siberian village sick. And so I remember reading this and thinking, wow, that's horrifying and scary and fascinating all at the same time. And I went and had a meeting with my publisher in New York, and we were talking about Nick's stories, and I had taken this idea of a disease coming out of the permafrost with me. And one of the other ideas was a young woman starting over after getting ousted from a cult. And my publisher said, I really like these two ideas. I think you should put them together. And I was like, what are you on? But I ended up doing it. So I remember at the time, though, thinking I don't know how that's going to work. But I think it actually worked out really well. So that's where it came from. And I can't take any credit for it. So.
Oh, well.
Well, I think you can.
the Russians pull them out of there all the time. I mean, they just got something else out of there recently, last week or so. So they pulled some.
Yeah, and there were a lot of, like.
Oh, it was a puppy, a wolf puppy.
Oh, wolf. Yes. Oh, no, that's true. There was a puppy. But yeah, a bunch of real life headlines went into this, including this idea that another Russian scientist had injected himself with, like, I don't know, 3 or 30 million year old bacteria, which is a real thing. And also the cyber attack on the US, which is a real thing too. And Ted Koppel wrote a book about it. And so that went in there too. So it's all real headlines and real ideas.
Well, the question I actually am dying to find out is, this book is so fast paced and it's so well done that I kind of interested in when you started writing it, were you writing it as fast as the book goes? I mean,
no,
okay. Because I mean, your brain had to be on steroids to get, I mean, this book.
Well,
reading,
you know, a lot of things are happening in your brain while you're writing, but you know,
That's true.
A few different drafts to kind of get it all right. And, you know, so no, it takes time. It took months and months to get the story, you know, honed that way. But yeah, but thank you.
you're more than, no, thank you. In fact, the last time we talked, I think we were talking about your first volume of, oh my God, what was the name of that book?
The Progeny.
Progeny.
Yes, The Progeny.
Yeah.
Story. What a wonderful story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So you're just, I mean, yeah. You've got, what, 11 books under your belt now?
Yep, 11. And, you know, there's actually 12. We're getting ready to sell the next one. It's already written. So,
But, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Have you given up your day job yet?
Yeah, I did. I did around 2010 or 11. I gave up my day job. And so I've been writing full time now.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Well, I'm going to take a quick break here. And we're going to be talking about LA Talk Radio, which, of course, is one of the major sponsors of the Writer's Block. And if you're looking for a good talk radio and you can't find anything on AM dial, then why not tune in to www.latalkradio? And let's hear a little bit more about them.
Hey, it's Jim Christina here for LA Talk Radio. And if you're like me and you love talk radio, but you just can't find anything worth listening to in that pesky little AM dial, then how about this? How about you tune into LA Talk Radio? You see, LA Talk Radio is the biggest and the best in LA and is a .com, so we have it all, from sports to music to self-help to, well, just about anything including talk. And right now it's coming right at you. Why don't you sit back and enjoy at www.latalkradio.com.
And we have to thank the owner, Sam Hassan, and, of course, our chief engineer, Ronan Rosner, for their affability and putting up with our nonsense for almost 5 years. And we love being on this station, and I hope they do another 5 years, eh, Bobby?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna let you ask a question now, Ms. Bill, and I'm going to sit back in my chair.
Oh, well, Tosca, as I mentioned, I read the first book, and I was so engaged from the very beginning. It starts a little bit differently than the second book. You give us sort of an update about a farmer and some pigs. And what I found was so interesting is you give us a combination of first person through the eyes of the main character, Winter, but you also feed in news updates and alerts in different kind of ways as the story picks up momentum. Did you have that idea initially, or was it just trying to figure out how can I give the reader more information that the first person wouldn't know?
Yeah, so that was something that, you know, in the course of writing, things just happen kind of organically sometimes. And that was just one of those things where, you know, I was writing the story and it was like, you know, I want to have a website here and I want to have a news update here. I want to check in and see a doctor's update in some other hospital across the country here. So, you know, those kind of random things got inserted into the story and those were super fun. You know, every story kind of has its own weird conventions. And so this, you know, like you might have like a weird, I remember when I wrote the story of Eve, I had these like little poetic stanzas that happened throughout the story and I didn't plan on them. They just kind of happened. Mm-hmm. And so every story kind of has its own thing. And so that was the story's thing, you know, like, you know, you get to peek over the shoulder of different people throughout the story. So.
Well, and I felt that it was, you have obviously our characters, as you mentioned, you have a sort of a story about a commune or a community living. Mm-hmm. And then we have this infectious disease. Mm-hmm. And it takes, you give us as a reader sort of different fragments. And I kept thinking all along, like, okay, we've got a guy that this community that is growing vegetables and such from heirloom type seeds, but I know there's a pig story out there because she's
right
started it with that. And how are they all, you know, and we have the Magnus, who is so charismatic and is sort of preaching about the end of the world, and sort of like, okay, right. How are all these elements, how is she going to weave all these together and have it all come together? And I found it so fascinating, you know, as each piece kind of went into place and we're like, okay, now I understand about the pigs.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, know, it was fun because, you know, the disease early on in the book, I mean, it's a prion disease, so it's spread by animals. It's like a mad cow type disease. Mm-hmm. And so you've got, in this case, it's pigs. So you've got that. And then you've got this religious commune where they are vegans, basically. And so you've got the other side of the, you know, the spectrum here. And that was super fun for me to, you know, kind of have this disease that spread that way zoonotically from animals to humans. And then you've got, you know, this vegan commune. So, yeah, it was super fun.
And I noticed on your website, I'm just going to do a little plug for you here because I love to spend time on your website. I did try to answer the code question several times unsuccessfully. So if you're a listener, if you're a listener, you need to get this book and then see if you can answer the code question. Mm-hmm. But I see that you're running a special on A Line Between $1.99 just through. What's the date? December. It's coming up, but it's
I want to say the 15th. My publisher put it on sale. It's $1.99.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, you know, when I write stories, and this happens all the time, but, you know, you have to have certain numbers or certain things happen. And so whenever I need to have something like that, I make it significant to me. And so in this case, there's a code in the book, and I decided to go ahead and make that public. And so if you go to my website and you click on the menu item code, mm-hmm. you can put it in there, and you have to be able to say what you think it means.
Yeah.
And then it'll open up the next book
too. I wasn't successful. I tried two different codes and I wasn't successful. So I guess I wasn't reading closely enough.
Well, that's okay. I don't think Richard was successful either. I don't think Richard was successful either. I asked him about the code and he goes,
darn it. You know, there's a few book clubs that the book clubs wrote to me and they're like, okay, it took us a week, but we figured
it out. Oh, that's cool though. I think that's fun. But it's kind of,
you know, like, you know, authors do this all the time. They've got different numbers or codes or things that go in there, and, you know, and they put them in there and they're significant to them. And, you know, in this case, it was like, why don't I just share this?
Yeah.
And do really something fun. So, yeah.
Yeah. I have a question for
sure.
Actually, as the show is geared towards new writers, and I ask this to a lot of the writers that we have on, the authors, the answer is pretty much always the same, but I'm going to ask you anyway. When you're writing and your characters are becoming more and more developed as you go, do you find that they eventually start taking over your story?
Well, yes. A little bit. And, you know, I always used to make fun of people when they would say that, because I always used to think, you know, you're in charge of those characters, whatever. But no, I think it's true. And, you know, with the sequel, A Single Light, there's a character in there, Otto, who I knew Otto, somebody like Otto would come along, and I knew what kind of role he would fulfill. But I didn't know exactly what he would be like. And then when I went in there and I started writing, and Otto showed up, and Otto's a young boy. He's a very innocent person. He's mute. And I just remember thinking, gosh, he just showed up completely different than I thought he would be. Mm-hmm. And he's one of my favorite characters I've ever written.
Yeah, I find the same thing. I think when I started with the character in something I'm writing right now, you meet this character and he's just been thrown out of a saloon in the middle of a dusty street. Mm-hmm. And the marshal walks up to him and he looks up at the marshal and he's pretty drunk. And he says, well, I just paid for my breakfast and a whiskey or a slow gin fizz with 45 caliber cartridges. How's your day going, marshal? and the guy just becomes that kind of guy. And then I knew right away I wanted to keep him in the book. So I did.
I think that happens. I think, you know, I plan stuff most of the way, not completely, you know, and there are people who outline far more than me, but, you know, there comes a point where your characters walk in and they're not exactly what you thought, and you roll with it, and it's great.
I think is I and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I think that the way you introduce a character gives him what he's going to be in your book.
Yeah, of course. I think that's right. Absolutely.
Okay, Bobby Jean, you're on.
Oh, I was just thinking over that question, Jim. And since I haven't really gotten into the sequel very much, I would say that I appreciated that in the very beginning, you give us a very quick kind of, this is who these people are. It's like a paragraph. And so my sense is, Jim, since you didn't read the first one, you could feel this was a standalone. It was, you did not need to know the first one.
I didn't feel I needed to read the first one. No.
Yeah. Because I we know when we talk to series writers, that's one of the things is you want to engage the reader to want to read the series. But if they pick up the second book or further in, you have to be thinking about that as you write the series.
Well, sure. As you go on and you know, the reading the second book first, you know, it's like you're reading the second book first book second, which I will go back and read your first book, but. The more you get into the book, the more intrigued you become with the characters and the storyline, mm-hmm. the more you want to go back and see how they got to where they were.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the first book, Magnus, I enjoyed reading Magnus. I don't necessarily like the guy, but I really enjoyed reading Magnus. And then you take us on this journey, that is the fast pace. The story suddenly picks up a tremendous amount of steam when she makes Chase, and that's what's happening. They're having a chase and under terrible weather conditions and every kind of thing that could possibly hit them. And I think that's when I just had to keep reading because you had us on such a fast pace. It sounds like, Jim, there are things like that in the second book as well.
There are. There are several scenes that go by very quickly.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you have to go back and reread them a couple times to kind of get really what's going on. It's not bad writing. It's just that they're very fast scenes.
Did you, was there anything in the writing of this book, Tosca, that sort of surprised you as you were writing it?
Well, you know, every book I write, there's always a few surprises. You know, I mean, there's always some things that, you know, I outline every book I do. But that said, there's always something or some things that always happen that weren't in the original outline. And so, you know, like I said before, I mean, Otto's character, I knew there'd be somebody like that. But how he turned out to be Otto, the way Otto is, it was a big surprise. But yeah, I only know roughly what's going to happen, but everything from there on out is a surprise. And mm-hmm. I think that's the fun of it. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the fun part of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, part of the fun of writing is exactly that, when, you know, the surprises happen and you didn't plan for them. All of a sudden the character goes in a different direction that you say, wait a minute, whoa, 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 whoa. And he's telling you, no, I'm going there, regardless of whether you like it or not. You know, so you just have to make amends for the guy to, you know, take him off and let him go.
Right, exactly. Yep. So, I think we're all trying to design an adventure that we would all like to take, you know. So I remember back in the day, I used to write for a computer magazine, and I remember interviewing these two brothers who wrote a computer game called Myst. And that was, remember Myst?
I do. Yeah. It was probably the only, and Overland Trail or something. Those were the only two games I ever attempted to play. And I was not successful at all. But I was.
Well, kind of hard. But, you know, Myst was very popular. And it was very graphical. And I remember I had the opportunity to interview these two brothers who made it. And, you know, their whole thing was, you know, we wanted to create a game that we would want to play. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me with a book, I'm trying to write a story that I would like to read myself. So that's what it comes down to. Yeah.
Well, I hate to break up this little chit chat. However, we do have to run another ad. So we're going to actually hear a little bit about Out West
right now.
The Writer's Block is sponsored by Out West Shop, your online portal to great Western apparel. Log on to outwestshop.com to see the latest in men's and women's Western and country Western inspired apparel and accessories. Click on Out West Live for on-demand live Western music concerts, Western music and equestrian lifestyle radio show podcasts, as well as this one, The Writer's Block. Why not listen while you shop? Use coupon code RADIO to save on your purchases this month. OutWestShop.com delivers the West to you no matter where you hang your hat, door to door and around the world. Remember, it's always a great day out West.
And it most certainly is. In fact, you used to answer your phone like that.
Yes, I still do. I answer Jim's phone like that all the time.
It's a great day out west.
It is, always.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your process, Tosca, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
like I told you Tuesday, the comment you made about write drunk and edit sober was...
Yeah,
I think all of us got so much out of that because we all tried it. No, we didn't.
You know, I have friends who are very disciplined and very rigorous, and they've got routines and stuff like that. And, you know, I have tried to do that, and I've never been that way. And I have never been like that my entire life. I mean, I've always been the kid, even in high school, who wrote the paper the night before that it was due. And I've tried to change it and I can't. And so my whole thing is, you know, I look out towards the deadline, and as I get closer, I freak out a little bit. I think, oh gosh, I should start. And then, you know, I put everything else aside, and then I just write full time for about 3 months or 4 months, really hard. Everything else falls by the wayside and I drop all the balls, and then I finish it and I turn it in, and that's it. So, mm-hmm. Yep, that's it.
Well, for our new writers out there, from start to finish, when you sit down the first time at your word processor until you turn in a completed manuscript, what is your timeline?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know, if I'm researching it, the research, depending, can take, you know, anywhere from 1 to 6 months or even more. So I do the research first. The writing is generally about 3 to 4 months. So, and I just, when I do my first draft, my big rule is don't stop, don't belabor anything, just keep going and, you know, fill in the details later. So, it's about 3 to 4 months, and with the research done before. So that's about it.
Yeah. Okay. And then you don't edit yourself.
Well, I do, but I have an editor friend that has been with me on many books, and I pay him to read and go behind me as I go before I turn it in. So, so it's got one good pass before I turn it in.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So,
do you prefer?
I think
to
that's really important. Even being on contract and having an in-house editor, I think it's super helpful.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely. Yeah. Do you prefer to write in the morning or the afternoon or at night?
At night. I'm not a morning person. I'm not an afternoon person. I'm an at night person. It's never changed. And, you know, the thing is, you know, most people, once they're, you know, around or past their teenage years, they don't change very much. So, you know, who you are is who you are. And I always think it's important to know how you work and how you work best, and to kind of work along the grain of how you work as opposed to against it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Because myself, I prefer early morning, but because I get up really, or I'm like Bobby Jean, I get up about the time she's going to bed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even so that's when my husband, yeah.
My husband will be getting up around the time I go to bed. And mm-hmm. my husband's a farmer. So, yep.
Right. Yeah. So his, yeah.
That's how it works. Yeah.
Well, that's how it works.
That's well, how it works.
My wife's not a farmer, but she does book this show. she works hard. So, okay, well, let's move on a little bit further and talk a little bit about when you were first getting into writing, what interested you in starting to sit down and put the word onto the page?
Oh, well, you know, originally I did not mean to become a writer. I was very serious about becoming a classical ballerina. So that was my whole drive. Then I want to say it was my freshman year in college. I came home to Nebraska and I was chatting with my dad about one of my favorite books of all time, The Mists of Avalon. And I was talking about how...
Me
remember
too.
Remember that book?
I love that book. I read that book about every 2 years.
Yes.
Because it speaks
it
to me a new...
Times.
Oh, yeah. That's a fabulous book.
So that is a story about the women behind King Arthur's throne. And it is fabulous. And it's a masterclass on characterization. So I was chatting with my dad and I was talking about how a great book is like a roller coaster and, you know, you've got these ups and downs and twists and turns and things like that. And I just blurted out to my dad, I think I'd like to write a novel. And I was supposed to work at a bank that summer. And my dad, who was a professor at the time, not of English or anything, but of business, said, okay, Tosk, I'll make you a deal. He said, I will pay you what you would have made working at the bank if you spend this coming summer writing your first novel and treat it like a job and do it full time. And so that's what I did. And that's how I wrote my first novel.
Wow. What a great story.
Wow. Nobody paid me to write mine.
Well, I did it.
How wonderful that your dad was so supportive.
Mine was bad.
It doesn't matter. but you did it. I mean, you learned so much from just the doing of it.
That's right. That's
the commitment.
That's the only way
it.
You can learn how to do it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You want to learn how to write a novel, you have to write a novel. And
you have to write a
probably
novel.
Probably will be bad. Yeah.
I noticed on your website, you have some interesting events coming up starting in February. Speaking of, you're doing some, sounds like really great sessions, 10 mm-hmm. Secrets of a Bestseller. Yeah. Writing unforgettable characters, and you're going to be involved in June in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the Alchemy Writers. Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? We may have some new writer listeners that would love to go to Sioux Falls
yes.
to work with you.
Well, I'd love to tell you about that. So Alchemy, that is a writing workshop I'm putting on with two awesome writer friends, Nicole Bart and Kimberly Stewart. And they are both bestsellers. And the thing about Nicole and Kim and I, you know, we travel around and we do events together and we call ourselves the traveling pens, kind of like the traveling pants, but we're the traveling pens. And we've got great chemistry together. And the thing about Nicole and Kim and I is that the three of us care. We care about people who have a dream like we had, people who have had this writing dream. And all three of us are teachers and have been teachers throughout our lives. And we are so looking forward to spending time teaching people who come to the session. And, you know, I mean, you might think Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It is gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's right on the river. And, you know, we are Midwestern girls. And so this is a chance for us to welcome people to the Midwest and just, you know, pour ourselves out in teaching other people how to do this. So we're so excited.
Mm, sounds fabulous.
Thank you.
Yeah, all these topics just sound great. So if you're listening, just go to toskalead.com and then calendar, and you'll see all of what she's posted so far about events that she's hosting this year, next year, 2020.
Well, even if you want to just go into a website and have a lot of fun looking around, Toskalead.com is where you want to go.
Yay, thank you.
She's got a bunch of fun stuff there. So just go take a look and you can learn all about Tosca and guess she's a nice lady.
So. You can try the code out too.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to keep trying now. I want to keep trying.
I'll give you a hint later.
That's okay. Yeah. Don't do it on air.
Well, I mean, it
never hurts to give you a plug, Tosca, because you are spending that $7.99 a month for that website. So you might as well get some traffic there.
Thank you.
We're going to take another break here real quick. And this is, of course, for Creative Edge, who is a friend of Tosca's, a friend of mine. And it's Creative Edge, and they are just one hell of a company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've written a book. Now what are you going to do? Well, why don't you give Creative Edge Publicity a try? You see, when Creative Edge Publicity was founded in 2016, they immediately showed they weren't the same as other publicity firms. Like an old pair of shoes or an old friend, they work closely with their individual clients' needs and goals and push harder to get them noticed. Creative Edge believes that communication is an important part of the partnership, and that model is how they have built their success. They collaborate and they work with local, national, and international media outlets and organizations to meet their clients' goals. So Creative Edge, it's your brand, your future. Mickey Mickelson Publicists, and you can find them at www.creative-edge.services.
And I have to say that Mickey is, of course, Tosca's publicist. Mm-hmm. He is mine and several other people. And he's just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And he's just really worth the time and the effort. And if you need a publicist, go to Creative Edge Services, and you can't go wrong. Absolutely can't go wrong. He's a great, great guy. And he will take very good care of you. Yes. And not charge you out of the ballpark, I might add.
That's true.
Yes. Okay. We have, there is several questions that actually have come from listeners. And I got some. And they kind of like to know certain things about writers and you in particular, Tosca. So somebody asked me the other day about when you started writing, what was your focus on your writing, or was it just to get your book done?
Oh, you know, so when I wrote my very first novel, my whole thing was just get that first novel done. And then after that, you know, I wrote on the staff of a computer magazine, and I wrote some computer books, and then I worked on some other freelance stuff. You know, and it was just always just the next project. And then when I finally wrote the book that would become my first published novel, that was 1998, I had that idea, and the whole thing was get it down. And I think that's really important. If you want to be any kind of a writer, get the idea finished, get it down on paper, finish it. That's the best advice I can give you, because there are so many people who write to me on a regular basis and they say, I've got a great idea for a book, and they're like, how do I get an editor? How do I get an agent? And I'm like, is it done? And they're like, no. And I my whole thing is, well, then it doesn't matter. You've got to get it done.
Right. Yeah. Write it first.
Get it down.
Okay. And I only have two questions for you. The second one is, as a new writer, what pitfalls should I be looking out for, and which ones are going to make the most problems for me as a new writer?
Mm. Well, you know, when you're a new writer,
good question, actually.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when you're a new writer, you're in a very protected, special space, because you are not out in the public area getting judged like a blender on Amazon or anything like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, you could be bold. And so, you know, my whole new writers is write and be bold and tell the story you want to tell without being worried about the judgments that people are going to make upon you. So just go out and write your thing without being too worried. And, you know, worrying about what other people are going to think, that's going to trip you up. So just, you know, tell your story and be bold and authentic and go forward from there.
Okay. The most of the advice that we give on this show comes from you writers that are on with us. The one bit that we always give to writers is write your story.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit down and write it.
Yep.
Don't edit it. Don't go back and rewrite. Write your story and then go back and reread it.
Yep. I would completely echo that too. My number one rule of writing, I always say, is to write like no one will ever read it. And the reason I say that is to keep it completely authentic.
Right, right. It's kind of like dance, like you, like no one's watching.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, I know sometimes we hear that, you know, write what you know. But in the case of all of your books, you do a lot of research and you take us into areas that my guess would be you don't really know. I mean,
well,
you
if I only
you
wrote
learn.
What I knew, yeah, those books would never be written. Yeah,
yeah,
that's true. But nowadays, there's so much information available. Mm-hmm. I mean, all you have to do is just go to Google. I mean, you can find pretty much anything you want.
Go to Google, and you know, my whole thing is too. Like, if you can possibly go to those places, go.
Well, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, right. like traveling around Arizona on my first book, that's what we did. We tromped all over the state looking Absolutely. At these places when I was writing about them. So, you know, I wanted to make them as accurate as I possibly could.
Well, and in the first book, she makes references to Naperville now and again, and not necessarily with street names and things like that, but right. my folks lived really close to Naperville. So I was like, oh, Naperville. Oh, Ames, Iowa. Oh, you know, you just feel like you're sort of in familiar territory, yep. you know.
And I've been to Naperville, and, you know, in my books before, they were set in Croatia and Hungary. And, you know, I gathered my mom up and we went.
And you went. Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
How is your mom?
Oh, she's so good. Oh, my gosh. So a few weeks ago, my mom was getting ready to go on a cruise. Yeah. And my mom, when she travels, she only has a carry-on suitcase. And so I said, you know, Mom, maybe you should write a little booklet about how to do that.
Yeah.
Travel with just a carry-on. And she was so excited. She got off the phone. She's like, oh. And the next day she called me up and she goes, I'm done. And I was like, what? And she had... Like overnight, she had written this entire booklet on how to travel just to carry on a suitcase. So anyway, that came out today, and her book is called A Woman's Guide to Traveling Well with Less.
Oh, I have to get
oh
that.
Oh, my God.
Where do I order that?
Isn't that so? Where do I order that,
Tosca?
I love it. It's 99 cents, and it's perfect, good, succinct. So, yeah, I'm so proud of her. She's very well.
Oh, I have to get that book for sure.
Okay, real quick, the question. Yeah. Writer's block, have you ever had it? Or if you have you got rid of it?
Yeah, anytime I've had it, it's me not knowing what to do next. So from there, I just outline a little better, or I go do some laundry, because if you go fold enough laundry, you'll figure it out.
Oh yeah, you'll have to write. Just to get away from the clothes.
That's right. Get away from your desk. Go fold some laundry. Everything will become clear.
Okay. That works.
It's true.
That works. You know what? We're out of time or shortly. So what's on the horizon for you, Tosca? What are you doing? Okay. Holidays. What are you doing for your holidays this year?
Well, we're taking the kids. We're going skiing in Colorado. The kids have never been skiing before.
Oh, fine.
So, I grew up in Colorado, but kids never have been, so that's what we're doing. Yep.
Wow, make sure you bring some of those portable casts along with you, because you're probably going to need one or two of them.
I was just going to say, it's going to be painful.
new books on the horizon?
Well, you know, I had two out this year, so I'm up for contract now, and I do have a couple exciting projects that we're trying to sell and we're getting ready to, you know, take out. But, you know, it's been a busy year. So it's a year of kind of writing and creativity and getting ready to, you know, restock the well and put things out there. So hopefully in the next, you know, year or so, I'll have some exciting things to announce.
Excellent. And your website is toscalee.com?
Toscalee.com.
And your email address?
It's just Tosca@ToscaLee.com.
There you go. And Facebook?
Author Tosca Lee. T-O-S-C-A-L-E-E.
Okay.
Yep.
And we can find your books at Amazon and all the online booksellers.
Everywhere. Yep.
Everywhere. Just ask
and
for Tosca Lee.
And they're on sale right now for $1.99. So
if they haven't got it, they can order it for you.
That's right.
And you want to read some of her books. Trust us. We don't say that about everybody.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being with us and joining us in this, the frivolity hour, we call it.
No, I love it. Thank you
and,
so much.
And, you know, it's always nice when somebody gives up their hour, and the evening especially, when you could be writing, to chat with little old Loli, me and Bobby Jean. So we do appreciate the time that you spend with us.
Thank you so much for having me back. It's been
and we would love to have you back again in the next year or so. So keep in contact with Jerry, and we'll make sure that we get rebooked.
All right.
And
thank you.
Thank you so much, Tosca.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. You can hang on if you want.
Okay. Thank you.
And Bobby Jean. Next week we have Russ.
Yes.
And we have a brand new writer. And he is, this is his first book. His name is Ted Hassan, and it's called The Odds Maker.
Oh, wow.
And it's a financial facilitator in the insurance business. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But next week, Russ and I will discuss this book with Mr. Hansen or Hassan, Ted Hassan. And we'll just go from there. And I definitely want to tell you and Jim, Bell, have a merry, merry Christmas. We won't be talking now until January.
That's right. Oh, we're not on the 26th? Are you doing a rebroadcast?
No. Yeah, we're going to do best of.
Okay. So, oh my goodness, we won't talk till next year.
Next January.
Oh my goodness. Well, merry Christmas to you and Jerry in your new home, your first Christmas there.
Yes, it is. In fact, we just got our tree up the other day.
Good for you. How wonderful.
And one of our very first guests next year, 2020, is a very favorite author of ours, and that would be Paris Afton Bonds.
Oh, fabulous.
So she'll be with us and a few more. And for that, going to be said, and again, Merry Christmas to everybody who is going to be taking the rest of the 2 weeks off for Christmas and New Year's. And with that, we are going to say for Bobby Jean Bell, myself, Russ Avison, and Ronan Rosner, and all the people at LA Talk Radio, we are out of here.